Why are we here today? We're here to always worship God. We're always here every week to praise God together, corporately, as a family. We're here to celebrate God's goodness and celebrate occasions. We're here to remember and dedicate lives. We might be there later for a party. A lot of time, we're here for a party as well. Not here for the party. But what are we here for special today? There's a difference. A lot of times people tell me they go to bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs in the synagogue, or they come here to a messianic synagogue. Is there a difference in the bar and bat mitzvahs? Yes, there is. I had a bar mitzvah on January 21st. You don't know that date. You know other dates, not that one. January 21st, 1961. Mine was a double bar mitzvah with a Jewish guy by the name of Frank Weiss. Not important, but I figured I'd just die. We had a double bar mitzvah, and I was up here with the rabbi and the cantor, and Frank Weiss was up here, and I felt bad for Frank because his voice at that age was changing. So he had a lot of cracks in his voice. I was still a soprano. Yes, I was. It was not a mistake. I was a soprano. And when I would sing, they used to put me right next to the last boy before the last girl. And I was right there because my voice was so high. But I had my bar mitzvah then. And to tell you the truth, I did it because Jewish people do it. You're supposed to do it. It's a tradition. What does it mean? Well, to most of my people, they don't know the full understanding and meaning of it. And it's a time for young Jewish kids. They get gifts. They have a party. They celebrate. They get up here and they say prayers like you did. They don't know what the prayers mean. They don't say them in English. And they don't give an interpretation. And they don't give their testimony. They do it because it's a Jewish tradition. And there's emptiness. It's not real full meaning, though they're fulfilling an obligation you're supposed to do. It's a rite of passage. Jewish young men come up here and say that, and it's today we look at you as a mensch, as a man. It's when you become of age and you become a man. And so now you could be part, any synagogue throughout the world, when they have a synagogue service, you have to have 10 men. Sorry, women. No, nothing against the women, but although today it might be different because everything's different today. But you used to have 10 men, and that's you have to have the 10 men in order to have a service. And that's a minyan, 10 people. I think they got that from when Abraham bargained with God, and he got it down to 10 people. I think that's the tradition. But so they do that in their synagogues, and there's not full meaning for that. I don't want to look down upon that, but they do it because you're supposed to. We do it different. If you guys today didn't do any of those prayers, if you didn't have a party, if you didn't do any of that, and you got up here, and I mean, we want to do more, but if you just got up here and told this whole congregation that you believe in Yeshua, that Jesus is the Messiah, that's all I want. I want people to hear a young man or woman to say, my mom and dad taught me about it. I might have heard it in Shabbat school. But today I'm telling you, I believe for myself. That's the real meaning of a bar mitzvah. When a Jewish young boy or girl should get up here and say that I have faith in Yeshua the Messiah. To me, that's the most important thing. Everything else is great. Breakfast, lunch, dinners, all that's good. But the most important thing is when you do that. And so that's why we're really here today. And if I can summarize, which is hard for me, two messages. One is a message to Gavin and Aiden and Gavin. One's a message to them. And I like to do that for them and speak to you. You guys have led the way for me from what you said. I'm just so excited. And a lot of times when I speak, you could all listen as I speak to them. But as I speak, I want you to hear these words, if it's possible, that you really, really hear and focus what I'm going to say. Because it's so important for you guys. Aiden, I think you said you're 15. And Gavin, tomorrow, is it? Tomorrow, he's going to be 13. So, the first thing, and I look for different characters in the Bible. They're extraordinary. And usually I look for guys younger, but I found two people in the scripture that I just wanted to focus on, just two, because you're two, and I wanted to focus for a minute on two. First thing I want you to do, this message to you guys, is I want you to be like Joshua. I took it from your passage. I want you to be like Joshua. He was special in the eyes of God. And I want to just focus on a couple qualities with Joshua. So first, be like Joshua. The first time Joshua's name is mentioned in the scriptures is found in the book of Exodus. And I like tracing these things, and I want you to hear, both of you, hear this first thing mentioned of Joshua. It's found in the book of Exodus. We have it up there, Exodus 17, yes. Exodus 17, quick background. Jewish people just came out of Egypt. It's Exodus chapter 17. They're on their way to Mount Sinai to get God's law. And so Moses is with all the Jewish people, and they're on their way out of Egypt, out of the Red Sea. And while they're traveling, there's 2 to 3 million of them. There's stragglers. There's people behind. That, you know, they're not with the whole, there's 2 to 3 million, so they're not all together. But there's people on the end. There was a group, an evil, wicked group called the Amalekites. And what the Amalekites like to do with big groups is they'd wait at the end and get the stragglers. And they would kill the stragglers and take all their money. And they attacked the people. And God viewed them as an enemy of God. God saw them that, and God always marked that they did that, and God was out to get the Amalekites, which he did hundreds of years later. God never misses a trick. Here, so they're going to Mount Sinai to get God's law. As they're going, they're so happy from the freedom of Egypt, but then there's some people, and there's troubles. And so God tells Moses, I want you to go and destroy these Amalekites. And when people get upset when you hear God wants to destroy, God kills the enemies of God. God gives difficulties to his enemies, those who turn away from God, those who are godless and wicked and don't have any values for God at all. And these people were out to destroy God's purposes, God's plan. And so God says in Exodus 17, so Moses said to Joshua, and this is important. I mean, there's 2 to 3 million. Moses focused on one here, Joshua. And Moses said to Joshua, I want you to choose men out of all of these. Fight against God's enemies. I summarize that. The real people, the Amalek. And fight against them. Tomorrow I'm going to go station myself on the top of the hill with a staff of God in my hand. And I like to think at this point, of all the Jewish people in Israel, 2 to 3 million, Moses focused on one. He focused on others, but here he focused on one, Joshua, who proved himself to be a leader. And from what I gather from you guys this morning, I see two leaders. 3 years from now, we're going to see another leader right over there. He's getting ready. That's the younger brother. Anyway, but right now, I see two guys who can grow up, especially what you said, to be a leader. And what does it mean to be a leader? Not just any leader, a leader of God's people. A leader, a man, a God, who will lead God's people, who will go against the enemies of God, who will speak against them. When I first became a believer, I carried around, I was a young man, I was 24, I carried around my Bible. And on it, and you've seen it before, it says right here, Yeshua, 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 in big blue letters. And I was a substitute teacher in the schools. And I came in to teach. People said, you weren't allowed. I said, I didn't know. Anyway, so I just walked in with my Bible. And I taught. I was a substitute teacher. They'd do nothing. So anyway, so I just gathered all the people, and I just told them about Yeshua. They said, they would have thrown you out. I said, so they would have thrown. I didn't know. Anyway, I went, when you said, I became known as the teacher with the Bible. And you became known as the student with the Bible. Now, he still does that. I wouldn't be surprised if one day we hear he's arrested, and we're going to see it on your internet, and you're going to see it in the news, that this guy from Shuv Yisrael, which is pretty nice for us. Anyway, this guy from Shuv Yisrael has dared to come to school. Someone will challenge you one day. There's no doubt about it. You can't walk into the Bible with the school of the Bible. You can do it with, you know, the Book of Mormon. You can do it with the Quran. You can do it with anything. Not with the Bible. But anyway, that's cool that you do that. You have proven already to be a leader. What both of you have said, that's a leader. Leader means to follow God, to do what he's asked you to do, not listen to the rest of the world, to be different. That's the greatest leaders that God is looking for. God is looking for people like you to lead the way. And I think in the movie, what is it, the movie? Ten Commandments. I like when all the people come out of Egypt and you see millions of the Jewish people and they're all wandering with him in the wilderness. And you know what you see in front of everybody? About 50-100 yards in front of everybody? Anyone? You see one lone figure. Who? Moses. To be a leader, it means sometimes to be lonely, to take a stand. Joshua, he was a leader, and Moses saw it. And he says to him, station, fight against it. Be a leader for me. Oppose God's enemies. Stand for righteousness and good. Follow along. Exodus 17. Joshua did as Moses commanded him. He fought against Amalek. Moses and Aaron and Hur went up with him as well. The leader of God obeys what God has to say. The leader of God obeys God's man and obeys God's other leaders. It's going to lead me to another thing in a minute. But you are called to be a leader, to be different, to choose the right, choose the good. And when you do that, the amazing thing is God will use you. That's the greatest blessing in all the world, when God chooses to use you guys as leaders. And if you take a step, allow God to use you and make you different. It's worth it. Not always easy. They will say things about you, but do what's right and allow God to use you. Exodus 24. Now the Lord said to Moses, very important here, come up, Moses, to the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets, the law and the commandments, which I have written for their instructions. And so he's going up there. All the people are out of Egypt. They're all there in the wilderness. They build their tents. And God says, now I have to give them my words, my laws. Moses, come up here alone. Come up here to be with me, and I'm going to speak to you. Moses is called by God. Look what the passage says here. It says, so Moses arose. Anyone? With faithful servant, a leader, and he went up with God. That's the difference. That's a leader. And so Joshua went up with Moses. Moses rode with Joshua, his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. I would like to think Joshua was faithful, loyal, dedicated, and I think one of the greatest qualities of a leader, which I didn't mention yet, the greatest quality of a leader is to be a great follower. A follower of who? Not the crowd. Not the crowd. Follower of maybe the one leader. To be a good follower and obey the leader. To obey the godly person, the godly leaders. That's what it means. To be a great leader, you have to learn to be a great servant of those who are godly and spiritual. And so the thing I like about Joshua, he was a great leader. He was a great follower. He obeyed. Look what it says in Exodus 32. Then Moses turned and went up from the mountain with the down from the mountain with the testimony in his hand. This is an important section. God says to Moses, come up to the mountain. People are all down here. Aaron will take care of them. Moses, you come up to the top of the mountain. And he comes up and goes there with Joshua. And Moses goes up there, and God is going to give him the tablets of stone to give back to the people. God chose Moses. God told Joshua, go up to the mountain. Now, they went up to the mountain, and down below, we know in the Bible what took place. Total chaos, mayhem. They sinned. They turned away from God. They made an idol. They made a golden calf. They turned away from God. Moses is up there on the mountain. And where is Joshua? Joshua's up there somewhere with him. Not with Moses. He's up there waiting because he is following the leader. He's following the godly spiritual leader. Joshua's made a choice not to be with the people, but to be with Moses. And it says he goes up there and he came down. Moses came down with the tablets. The tablets were God's work, written, engraved on the tablets. Now, when Joshua heard the sound of the people, now, so what took place is Moses at the top of the mountain. He comes down, he meets Joshua, and he's got his tablets, and Joshua says, there's war down there. I hear something's going on down there. It's war. We got to get back down there. And Moses knows it's not the sound of war, and he goes back down with Joshua. How long was Joshua alone? Just sitting in the middle of the mountain. His leader, Moses, was up with God. The people were down there doing something. He didn't know they were committing sin. And Joshua was patient. He was persevering. He was waiting for the man of God to hear. He wanted to hear the voice of God. And it says he came down. Now Joshua heard the sound. He says, there's a sound of war in the camp. How long was it that he was up there? Moses entered the midst of the cloud as they went up to the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. That's almost 6 full weeks. Moses and Joshua went up. Moses goes up further. Joshua says, I will wait for you. Wait for the man of God so he can get further instructions. Exodus 32:1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down on the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, come, make a God for us. We'll go before us. So this Moses, the man of God, we don't know what's become of him. Joshua, be a good leader. Joshua, learn to follow godly examples. Follow the godly man, the right one, to do the right choice, not the crowd. Be faithful, loyal, trustworthy. I love Joshua. Good leader, good follower of the right things. Second man I want you to think of, and the reason I picked him is because sort of you two are going together today, Aiden and Gavin. Who goes with Joshua? Everyone? Joshua and? Caleb, you know, right. Joshua and Caleb. I want you to be like Caleb also. Follow along with Caleb. Numbers chapter 14 is where we get a picture of what Caleb is doing. And let me tell you, God said to Moses and the Jewish people, go and take the land. And so the Jewish people are supposed to go and take the land. And then they suggested to Moses, why don't we send 12 spies in first? Moses says, good idea. So he picks 12 spies, one from each tribe. And he picked Joshua from the tribe of Ephraim. He picked Caleb from the tribe of Judah and 10 others. And they all went into the land of Israel. They were there 40 days. They came back with fruits and vegetables. And the report, all 12 agreed. All 12, even Joshua and Caleb. All 12 agreed. The report was, this is a good land. This is wonderful. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. This is a wonderful land. 10 of them said, we can't do it. Why can't we? They're giants. They're as big as Aiden. They're huge. We can't go in. These giants are too big for us and too strong for us. We can't do what God says. It's a good land, but we're going to be killed. God's led us here. We're like grasshoppers. We're going to die. All the people said that. The 10 spies, they said that. They turned the hearts of the people. But two, Joshua and Caleb especially. I want you to see Caleb. Caleb says, listen to what it says. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of the assembly of the congregation. And Joshua, the son of Nun, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, those who went, spied out the land, they tore their clothes. So here you got 10 people saying, we can't do it. And all the people go, yeah, you're right. We can't do it. And you see Joshua and Aaron. And then you see Caleb rips his clothes, falls on his face before God and says, how can we turn from God? We can't turn from God. But, it would be easy. High school, world, business, friends. It's easy to go along with everybody else. It's hard to be different and allow this book to dictate to your life. It is hard, especially as a young man. And so they tore themselves. They repented for the people. They said, we're turning from God. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb. We can't turn from God. We must be different. Look what it says. Numbers chapter 14, verse 7. We get the next good verse 7. And it says, and they spoke, Joshua and Caleb, specifically, I think, Caleb here. And it says, they spoke to the congregation, the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through, it's a good land. It's very good, the land. As they spy, it's exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into the land to give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. All the people are saying, we can't do it, we can't do it. And all the other people are saying, you're right, we can't do it. And they want to kill Moses, stone Moses. And then you got Caleb said, this is a great land. If God is pleased with us, if we follow, if we obey, we walk with God, God will bring us into this land. We must do it. I just love Caleb's response. He went against the whole crowd. And there was a big crowd. His 10 friends, spies, all the people, he went against them. And he says, verse 8, don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land. They will be our prey. They're nothing. It doesn't matter how big they are. It says, their protection has been removed from them. No one saw that. Caleb had eyes of faith. He said, they have nothing protecting them. We have something protecting us. He had faith. He had trust in God. He walked with God and believed. He was determined. And it says, their protection has been removed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. That's boldness, to speak up for God. He says, but all the congregation said, when he spoke up, let's kill him. Let's stone them. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of the meeting. He went against the crowd. And one of my favorite descriptions of Caleb, follow along, Numbers 14. Surely all the men who have seen my glory, God says, saw my signs which I performed in Egypt in the wilderness. Yet they have put me to the test these 10 times. They've not listened to my voice. None of them. Here's God's decision. After they came back, made their decision, the 10 people, it said, influenced all the people of Israel. Joshua and Caleb spoke against it. The people went with the 10. And all the people said, we can't do it. We're not going to go up. And God says, all those 10 and all the people of Israel, all the people of Israel, none of them will get to the promised land that I promised them, the land flowing with milk and honey. None of them. Except you two, just Aiden and Gavin, just you, Joshua and Caleb. Only because you followed God. You heard his voice. The ones who follow God and are determined, God will bless different than everybody else. That's the one you want your blessing from. Look what it says about them. He says, only those two are going to, everyone else, they've spurned me, they're not getting in. But my servant, Caleb, and here's the phrase, because he has a different spirit. Aiden, Gavin, please grow up with a different spirit, a spirit that the world can't contend with, spirit of God resting in you. Be different. You can be. And I say this, and I would desire 20, 30 years when I'm not around here anymore, 20, 30, when you grow up, and I would love to hear you say, I won't hear it, you say to some people, someone once told me, have a different spirit. That different spirit is a godly spirit that follows God and not man, that follows God's people and not the crowd. That's what sets us apart. Joshua was a leader and a great servant. Caleb had a different spirit. And it says, he is a different spirit. He's followed me fully. I will bring him into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. He would go into the land. Fast forward 45 years later. All the people in the wilderness, 40 years, God said they weren't going in. One by one, they all died. Actually, side note, I just thought of it. Just now. Of those 12 spies, I mean, it took 40 years to kill all the people in Israel. But of those 12 spies that went in, Joshua and Caleb, the 10, they died right away. But not those two. Joshua and Caleb made it. Not only did they make it to 40 years, 45 years, they went into the promised land. And we see it. Joshua chapter 14. Then the sons of Israel, this is 40 years later, after they wandered, sons of Judah came near to Joshua, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he said to Moses, Moses, you remember what, he said to Joshua, Joshua, you remember what Moses told you 45 years ago, that I would go into the land, and this is the land I would walk on? I want it now. It's 45 years later. And he says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to them that was in my heart. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which you walked will be your inheritance and to your children after you, because you have followed the Lord fully. Now behold, God, Caleb says, has let me live 45 more years. Listen to what he says. Now, he was 40 when he took a stand. 85 now. He says, from the time the Lord spoke to Moses and Israel, we walked in the wilderness. Now behold, I'm 85 years old today. I'm still as strong as I was in the day of Moses, He sent me there. As my strength was then, my strength is now, for war or for going in and taking the land. Now then, Caleb says, give me this land that God promised. This is 45 years later when Joshua was divvying out the land. And he says, give me the land, for you heard on the day that we destroyed, he says, for the day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities, perhaps the Lord will be with me. I will drive them out. So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. He was overcome all enemies, all things, because he persevered. He had a different spirit. Caleb entered the land, overcame all the difficulties. And people don't realize, if you have faith, if you trust God, if you walk with him, if you are a follower of godly people, if you are a leader for the people, if you have a different spirit, God will make your lives great. He will bless your life. He will make you almost, the enemies can't come against you. The promise of God is that he will bless you for being like Joshua and Caleb. That's what God says to you guys. Be like them. But I want to, three passages quick, right here. One, a passage that Joyce read in the book of Exodus. This is a message from them. It's also from Joyce, because she did Exodus. You guys did Joshua in Revelation. God brings victory against the enemies. Exodus 19, we read. Follow along. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall gratify against them. I will draw out my sword, my hand will destroy them. The book of Exodus, this section, Exodus chapter 15, it's a recount of what just took place coming through the Red Sea. And the message here is the enemy said, we're going to destroy Israel. We're going to overwhelm them. We're going to defeat them. We're going to bring out our sword. We're going to kill them. That's what it said. And God says, the enemies of God, he will defeat. God, you defeated them. They said, we're going to draw out our sword. We're our hand. We're going to destroy the Jewish people. And then it tells us what God did, Exodus 15, that we read. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the water. God defeats the enemies of God. That's what he will do for us. Exodus 15. Pharaoh changed his mind. He let the Jewish people go. And then when they went, he went, oh, I'm not too smart. See, I'm not allowed to use that S word, the stupid word. But anyway, he said, I shouldn't have let those Jewish people go. So Egypt and Pharaoh with all his chariots said, we're going to go after those Jewish people. And he got 900 chariots. He got his army and he went against them and he went to the Red Sea. And it's like, when people, the enemies of God, come against you, God's in heaven and he's doing this. God's laughing. God's on your side. God's on the side of those who follow him. It doesn't matter who rises up. It doesn't matter how tall Goliath was. 9 foot 9, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how big the enemies were. It doesn't matter how big Egypt was. God just, it's gone. And God in Exodus says, I will defeat the enemies of those people who walk with God, who serve God, who obey him, and say, I will have a different spirit. God, it says, you blew with your wind. Who is like you, Lord, among all the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working one? There is no one like our God who has all the power. You see, the hard thing is for us, we don't have eyes of faith enough. We don't see God working. We see man working. We see difficulties. We see problems. But these spiritual men of God see God behind. And they say, Moses said this in the book of Exodus, who's like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them up. God has great power to deliver his children. And it says, in your loving kindness, Lord, you led your people out of Egypt. You redeemed them. In your strength, you have brought them to your holy habitation. This passage in Exodus, Moses is saying, God will defeat the enemy with his mighty power, and he will lead you to victory. The book of Exodus is powerful, explaining who God is, what he will do, in the future what he did in the past. Exodus tells us if we walk with him and obey him, we are on God's side, he is on our side. That's one of the great passages, the song of victory when they came through the Red Sea. Always remembering God blew away the enemy. God will give victory to those who follow him and lead you to victory. The second, the passage we find in God brings success in the book of Joshua. God brings success for those who obey and meditate on God's word. You said it in your testimony that the Jewish people were about to go into the promised land. Moses had died. Joshua was leading them in. Moses was dead. All the generation died. And now as they were going in, God speaks to Joshua and he gives him the formula for success. And I've often said this, success, everyone, you should be able to say it right now. Success is what? Very good. Finding out the will of God and that's success. Not money, not position, not power, not talent, not good looks. Success is finding out what God wants from me and doing it. That is success. And Joshua is going into the land with all the people. Moses, the great leader, is dead. He died. Now Joshua's got to take 2 to 3 million people into the land. What could I do, Lord? Who am I? Joshua tells us. And Joshua, it says, Joshua 1, no man can stand up against you before you. No man will stand against you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. And if I could be so bold to make an application, as God's Spirit was with Moses, God's Spirit was with Joshua, God's Spirit will be with anyone who says, I will follow God. God's Spirit lives in all believers, those who've said, I've sinned, I was separated from God, I now believe that Yeshua is my Messiah. He died for me. I accept him. I think you did it at 3. What age were you? 5. 3 and 5. Right, you're 2 years older. That's perfect. Anyway, 3 and 5. God's Spirit will be with you. And many times, I mean, we all go through troubles and difficulties, but many times I feel in this world, if you're walking with God, you have the advantage over the world. You really do. If you wind up reading the word, praying, walking with God, obeying him, no one can pierce and stop you unless God allows it for his purpose. You are invincible because God is with you. He was with Moses, the same Spirit with Joshua. They did the same thing when we get to Elijah and Elisha. God's Spirit is with all believers who walk with God's Spirit is in all believers. If you walk with him, nothing can touch you. And God makes the promise here. I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. That's God's promise. Look what he says, Joshua 1:7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be bold. Be strong. Be courageous. Not arrogant and pompous. But God says, be very strong and courageous. Be careful. Do everything that I wrote to you in my word. He says, law here. They only have the law. Do everything God has told you from Genesis to Revelation. Do everything that God asks you to do. And he says, everything that the according to the law of Moses, which my servant commanded you, do not turn from the right or the left. Oppose the crowd. Do what's right. Follow God. Follow his leaders. Follow your parents. Do what's right. And God says, do not turn from the right or the left. Be focused so that you may have success wherever you go. I want success, folks. And the only way to have success is follow God and obey him. He goes on and says, this book of the law, they only have the first 5. We got it all. This book shall not depart from your mouth. Learn it, memorize it, quote it, meditate on it. Think on God's word all the time. Every circumstance, find a place in the Bible that speaks about it. We meditate on everything, folks. Unfortunately, most of the times, it's the wrong stuff. If you read the Word of God every day, you'll bleed the Word of God. It'll always come out of you. And he says, don't let the word of God, it says, don't let it depart from your mouth, but dwell, think, meditate all the time on God's word, day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to what it says. Think about it, and you'll do what it says. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have success. Guys, the way to have success, Joshua's passage, read God's word, dwell on it, meditate, think about it. Look for circumstances that find in the Bible. Have I not commanded you, God says to Joshua, be strong, courageous, don't tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. A great promise. Joshua tells us, dwell on God's word. In order to dwell on it, I was a little older than you, both of you. In order to dwell on it, you have to determine to read the Bible every day for how long, guys? The rest of your life. Seems a little daunting. You can do it. Read the Word of God every day for the rest of your life. I didn't say how long. Read the Word of God. And then people will wind up coming to you and go, you seem to know where this verse is in the Bible. You always seem to know where these verses are. And it's not because you're going to remember. It's because you read it. You read it. You think on it. You dwell on it. Something happens in life, you go, reminds me about a story in the Bible. You'll always go back to the Bible. If you do that, you will have success. That's God's promise. Joshua. So God first in Exodus brings victory to those who follow him. Second, God brings success to those who meditate on God's word. Last passage, Revelation, God will rule and reign through the Messiah. I liked when you read Revelation. No one's ever picked Revelation before. That's really cool. No one's ever picked Revelation. We usually give them a chance. You know, we usually say to them, is there a certain passage you like, that you'd like to read? And they go, no, I'm not sure. And I said, their parents are saying, I said, do you have a bet? No, we're not sure. Can you help us? So I usually give them a couple. But I wasn't there when Joyce said you. I said, yep, Joshua, Revelation, you knew. That's cool. It's really great. And Revelation is really, the whole book is great. It promises a blessing to those who read it. But I like to summarize your couple verses. God will rule, God will reign through the Messiah. He is the key in everything. God's victory in Exodus, God's meditating on the Word of God, it's all through Yeshua. Here, Revelation 11, as you read, the seventh angel sounded the trumpet. It sounded, and there was voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of our Lord, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. Revelation, it focuses around seven seal judgments in the first half of the tribulation. Second half, seven trumpet judgments. God is bringing judgments on the world. And everyone said, what about the vials? The vials are the last couple weeks. When that seventh trumpet that you read about sounds, it's basically saying, over. What you see now is really, really bad for the last couple of weeks. It's over. It's all completed by that seventh trumpet. And that seventh trumpet means Yeshua is coming back. He's coming back to reign and rule with his believers. That seventh trumpet is a great blast. And it says it here. Seventh trumpet blasted, and the kingdom of the world become the kingdom of, I said, our Lord. And can you say who else? Messiah. That's how God the Father chooses to rule the world, through the Son. The Son, the second person of the triune nature of God, his Messiah. And he will reign forever and ever. God will reign forever and ever through the Messiah. It's a great sound of victory at the end. God will rule. No matter what this world looks like, no matter how bad it gets, let me assure you, there's coming a time when the Lord will reign on this earth. There will be world peace, and the way he will reign is through the Messiah and his children. The kingdom is given to believers. Revelation 11, 16, the 24 elders, nobody knows who they are. Yeah, we do. Many of the liberals don't know who they are. The Bible shows and describes through a passage, we're not going to study it. The 24 elders are believers. That's who. From the time of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, to the time of the rapture, the body of Messiah, which you guys at the age of 3 and 5 became part of the body of Messiah. And it says, the 24 elders, all believers who sit on their thrones, God's giving us a throne before God. We fell on our faces. We worshiped God. When that trumpet blasts, The kingdom is here, Messiah is back, and we as believers are there. Also with Israel, Old Testament believers of Israel, and the body of believers in the New Covenant, and the people who died in the tribulation. The kingdom is about to start. The rule and reign of Messiah. Great, great passage. Verse 17, this is what they will say. We will give thanks to you, O Lord, our God of the Almighty. You were, and you have taken your great power, and you have begun to reign. The kingdom is established. That's the seventh trumpet. Let me tell you, when that trumpet blasts, let me show you what's going to happen. The Bible tells us, I'm going to read this last passage, Revelation 19. Follow along. This is what we call the second appearing of our Messiah. This is when that trumpet's blasting, Messiah. It says, verse 11, I saw heaven opened, a white horse coming down, sat upon it, called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he will judge the world. Messiah will judge the world. And I love to add, Messiah will judge the world and those who believe with him. His body, his believers, those who put their trust in him. His eyes are a flame of fire. His head, many crowns. He's a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. It's Yeshua. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen. Do we know who the armies in heaven are? Anybody? Everybody? Us. How do the armies get to be in heaven with Yeshua? When he comes back at the seventh, how do they come? He raptures us, all believers. He will rapture us. We become the armies of heaven as he returns to the earth to reign on this earth. The Messiah will reign. And it says, the armies in heaven, which are clothed in fine linen, white and clean, which we're following on white horses. The fine linen that we're wearing is all we did for him on this earth, our righteous good deeds. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he might strike all the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread them in the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh is a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord is coming back to reign. These three passages tell us, Exodus, God is victorious, defeats the enemies with his believers. Second, God will bring success for those who read, dwell, think, and meditate on the Word of God, which means we got to read it. And finally, God will reign and rule in this world. He will bring his kingdom through the Messiah, Yeshua, and those who follow him. The Bible says the kingdom is Messiah's and all his children. Because of Messiah, we are to praise and worship God because of all his benefits to us. Three benefits: victory, success, and ruling on the earth. God promises us that. You guys, be like Joshua and Caleb. Be leaders. Be followers of godly people. Have a different spirit. Keep carrying that Bible. We'll stand behind you in court. No. Keep carrying that Bible. Father God, we thank you for this special day. We thank you for two young men, not Joshua and Caleb. Their example is good. But I thank you, Lord, for Aiden and Gavin and their testimony here today. May they determine at this moment, nothing they've already determined. May you keep them strong, Lord. Nothing will ever change it. Nothing will ever allow them to be taken from your presence. They will carry your word. They will be different from the crowd. They will have a different spirit. They will be followers of godly people, and they will become leaders for you. And may we just praise and thank you that you give us victory. You will give us success. And if we believe and walk with you, we will reign with you forever. We commit this day to you and thank you for it in Yeshua's name.